पनिशमेंट एंड रिवॉर्ड ऑफ कली टेक्स्ट नंबर 4 काइंडली रिपीट आफ्टर मी प्रपश्च रथमारूढ कार्तस्वर परिच्छदम् मेघ गंभीरया वाचा समारोपित कार्मुक प्रपच्छ रतमारुद्ध कार्तस्वर परिच्छदम् मेघ गंभीरया वाचा समारोपित कार्मुकः प्रपच्छ रतमारुद्ध कार्तस्वर परिच्छदम् मेघ गंभीरया वाचा समारोपित कार्मुकः Matajis, word to word meaning, kindly repeat after me. Prapaccha, inquired. Ratham, chariot. Arudha, seated on. Kartaswara, gold. Parichadam, embossed with. Megha, cloud. गंभीरया एक्सोनेरेटिंग वाचा साउंड समारोपित वेल इक्विप्ड कार्मुकः एरोस एंड बो ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद महाराज परीक्षित well equipped with arrows and bow and seated on a gold embossed chariot spoke to him the Shudra with a deep voice sounding like thunder. Purport: an administrative head or king like Maharaj Parikshit with full majestic authority, well equipped with weapons to chastise miscreants, can challenge the agents of the age of Kali. Then only will it be possible to counteract the degraded age. And in the absence of such strong executive heads, there is always a disruption of tranquility. The elected showbottle executive head, as representative of a degraded public, cannot be equal with a strong king like Maharaj Parikshit. The dress or style of royal order does not count. It is one's actions which are counted. Hare Krishna. So, I seek blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas over here so that I can speak on this a very interesting and very important description of Maharaj Parikshit and his interaction with age of Kali Yuga. So here Prabhupada is explaining about the position and the importance of administrative head. As this age is progressing, the age of Kali Yuga, as we all know, it is called age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Kali, the word is derived from the word Kalaha. Here, in this age of Kali Yuga, what we see is that on small, small thing, people quarrel. And another important aspect is showing what we are not, that is hypocrisy. So, one poet, Bob Morihead, he had written a very beautiful poem about this age. He writes about what we have achieved and what we have lost. So he says that in this age, people have more degrees but less sense. People have more knowledge but less judgment. More medicines are available but less wellness. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We have done larger things but not better things. We have conquered outer space but not inner space. These are the days of two incomes but more divorces. Big men but small characters. We have fast food but less or slow digestion. We have steep profits but shallow relationship. We have cleaned up the air but polluted the soul. And this is a time where more is in the showroom window and nothing in the stockroom. So here, Prabhupada's a very hitting line is the dress or style of royal order does not count. It is one's actions which are counted. So as a practitioner, a spiritualist, as he grows, as he walks on the path of spirituality, the biggest challenge he faces himself when he preaches what he preaches, whether he follows it or not. We speak big words but follow very little. That is what this poet, he writes, that we are preaching big words but practices are nowhere. So for a Kali Yuga, in this age, when people accept positions, it is also expected that they follow the principle of integrity in their life. Guner uttama tam yati no chera sanasamstita prasada shikarastopi kaak kim garudayate. Kaak kim garudayate. Guner uttamatam yati. So, in most of the temples, we see that there is a Garuda Stambha. Garuda Stambha is a carrier. Garuda is a carrier of Lord Vishnu. And because of his qualities, he's been offered that position. Having a Garuda Stambha in front of each of the temple. And there, that position, that pillar is dedicated that Garuda can come and sit over there. But if crow comes and sit on that stambha, on that pillar, that doesn't mean that a crow has become a Garuda. Kaka kim garudayate. So similarly, just by accepting some position, that doesn't qualify someone or that doesn't represent someone to be qualified to lead the people in general. Kaka kim garuda ayate. And Prabhupada would always be very heavy about the one who is leading society towards ditch, towards a valley where everyone falls. Blind leader and blind follower. And among these two, who is most condemned is blind leader. Because by nature, people has a tendency to follow someone. And therefore, here in this purport, Prabhupada is writing about one's integrity when one accepts position. As many times, by different ways, someone acquires position. Sometimes by someone's qualification, and by sometimes by just time is passing, and that person is offered that position. Some position in the institution, some position in the administration, or in the society. But how we acquire position or how we have received that position is not that important than how much we are following the principles to be in that position. So here we can see that many times it becomes very easy for us to hide our weaknesses on the name of external achievements. So whatever I have heard from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj and few articles I read from Brij Bihari Prabhu's writings, I'm just presenting those points. So one of the point, one of the beautiful story explained by Prabhuji is that one time in the court of Akbar, a linguistic personality came. He was fluent in all the languages. And he challenged the king that, is there anyone in your kingdom who can identify what is my mother tongue? And all the ministers, all the courtiers, they tried to find out what is this person's mother tongue. And everyone failed miserably because this person was so expert. Any language, whether it is Tamil, whether it is Telugu, whether it is Malayalam, Gujarati, Marathi, Hindi, you speak, he would reply so fluently. And there is no, even someone can identify his accent. So everyone was astonished. And Akbar was like, the king was flabbergasted that how can, now, can we solve this? So he was looking at the Birbal that, you come up with something, you are very intelligent fellow. Birbal said, okay, I have identified what is his mother tongue, but I will reveal it to that tomorrow, to all of you. So everyone was eager to know what is going to be this person's mother tongue. And next day, Birbal said, yes, I have identified what is his mother tongue. And all the courtiers, all the ministers, they were ready to listen. What must be the mother tongue of this person? And Birbal said, yes, your mother tongue is Gujarati. And the person was also astonished. Well, how come you came to know that my mother tongue is Gujarati? So Birbal said, yesterday night, you remember the incidents that somebody threw a cold water on you and you blurted out many abusive words. And those abusive words were in Gujarati. When you were caught unaware, your real inside came out. And that is what is the reality of a person. So immediately, all the courtiers and even king rewarded the Birbal. And this is what happens, you know, when we try to hide our weaknesses for external glories. When some difficult time comes, those real things, they come out. Just like here, this person was very fluent because it is very easy to prepare and present. But when the reality dawns on, that time to maintain what is there inside is very difficult. And that's what we see in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. When Bhagavad Gita began, interestingly, it began with the personality Dhritarashtra. When someone expects that Krishna is going to speak, someone expects Arjuna is going to question, suddenly, the first shloka of Bhagavad Gita begins with Dhritarashtra Uvacha. And what is that Dhritarashtra Uvacha? Why it has come over there? To expose what Dhritarashtra is all about. He pretended throughout his life that he loves his nephews, Pandavas. And he showed, I love them a lot. But secretly, he was thinking and he was also helping in the conspiracies taking place, arranged or conducted by Duryodhana, that he was supporting all his conspiracies against Pandavas. And externally showing, actually I'm weak. So wherever there is a weakness, someone wicked will come to exploit that weakness. So when Dhritarashtra was weak, Duryodhana, wicked, innately wicked, started exploiting weak Dhritarashtra. And finally, when both the armies, they came in front of each other, they were about to march, about to begin. Here in this palace of Hastinapur, Dhritarashtra with his secretary Sanjay is asking, what is happening on the battlefield? And there his mindset is revealed. What was his mindset? He separated his sons from the sons of Pandu. He said, Mamaka. Mamaka Pandavaschaiva. And all those verses, they reveal the different personalities. First is Dhritarashtra and second one is Duryodhana. Externally, Duryodhana was respecting, but his words and actions, they are exposed in these verses. So he goes to Dronacharya and there he sarcastically calls Dronacharya as a Dvijottama. Why he calls Dvijottama? Actually, when someone goes to the teacher, he submissively listens from that teacher. It's not that he starts saying, now you listen to me. What Duryodhana does over there is that he calls him Dvijottama sarcastically because He says, see, you are Dvija, you are a Brahmana, and yes, you are supposed to train, you are supposed to accept disciples, irrespective of what harm is there, no matter what harm is there for your own life. Because Dronacharya has trained Drishtadyumna. Drishtadyumna was his own disciple, Dronacharya's disciple. And Drishtadyumna was supposed to kill, he was born to kill Dronacharya. Still, Dronacharya did not mind that. Dronacharya trained Drishtadyumna. And Duryodhana is calling him Dvijottama, means you are Dvija, you are Brahmana, and best of the Brahmanas. Because you have trained this disciple Drishtadyumna. And that person is creating problem for us. So Duryodhana's hypocrisy is revealed in these verses. Dvijottama, but listen to me. And then he says, you know who are there in my army? As if Dronacharya didn't know who were there in his army. And all the warriors whom Duryodhana enlisted is been trained by Dronacharya. So there was no need to tell Dronacharya that who are there in my party. So externally looks like Duryodhana is very respectful towards Dronacharya. But internally he has disrespect. He is not happy with what Dronacharya has done. What Bhishma is doing. He again and again reminds them with harsh words sometimes. Don't have affection towards Pandavas. I know you both are very affectionate towards Pandavas. But finally you are fighting from my side. You all have to be aware of that. So this is what basically happens when somebody is trying to have that position. Duryodhana was playing a part of a king. But he was not having right character. The glory of kingship he wanted to enjoy, but responsibility of a king he does not want to carry. And this might be true for practitioners, spiritual practitioners. So few points I would like to describe about hypocrisy. What exactly this hypocrisy is all about? So hypocrisy basically means professing higher values or views to which one's own behavior does not meet. So we speak of big things. We start giving sermons to others. But we think, I am not supposed to follow that. I know one boy, he would speak big, big things. And when it comes to follow, that he would say, I am supposed to speak, I am supposed to train them. I am not supposed to follow. This is the hypocrisy. Basically, you profess a big, big moral codes, moral principles, but you yourself don't follow that. And another aspect of hypocrisy is that accusing other person who does the same thing as you are doing, but you think your intent is better than what his actions are. And my actions are. So what does it mean that if I steal and another person also steals? So I accuse that person, hey, don't you know that this is stealing? And you start chastising that person. And when he asks, hey, you also stole or not? So I say, hey, my intention is to help all these poor people. Therefore, I stole. So this is what hypocrisy is all about. When I do something, we justify, no, it is for better things for others. Or it is the best thing I am supposed to be doing. And when others do the same thing, we start accusing them. And why this hypocrisy comes in practitioner's life? Because of two things. One is fear. Fear of losing respect. Fear of losing the perks which comes through that position. And second is low self-esteem. These are the two aspects because of which hypocrisy creeps in. And we use hypocrisy to avoid our shortcomings, and one of the painful emotions is to be humble. Hypocrisy helps us to hide our humility or to be humble. Humility, what exactly does it, humility means? Accepting whatever or whoever we are. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his one of the bhajan, he says that Amara jivan sada paperat nahi ko punyera lesha. Madamatta sada vishaye mohita. That my life is full of sinful activities or engaged in sinful activities. Amara jivana sada paperata. Nahi ko punya relesha. There is no tinge of pious activities or piety. Always intoxicated, madamatta sada vishaye mohita, and enamored by the sense objects. Of course, this is a humility of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Most of the time, we are not ready to accept when we are going through. He is not doing anything. But still, even a small thing, a pure soul agitates their mind. They are disturbed. Even if they do small little long thing. And one who is trying to show much outside, for him, even a big scandals does not touches his heart. He becomes immune to any guilt. And therefore, one need to be very alert that as we are progressing, we should be taking guidance, we should be connecting with the people and keeping our book open so that we can save ourselves and save others who are following us. Because each one in this world, somewhere or other, leader somewhere. And when leader betrays their subjects, their followers, then faith and trust is never gained again. Those people lose their trust. Those people lose their faith. If you are spiritualist, they lose faith or trust in spirituality. If you are a politician and if you break their faith, you people lose their trust and faith in politician. And that is the scenario today. People, they don't trust politician. People hesitate to trust spiritualist. Why? Because so many godmen have been destroying the faith and the trust of the people. So it becomes a big responsibility for all of us to have integrity in our life. What does integrity means is following what one is speaking. Not integrity, at least one must be honest. And what honesty means? Honesty means admitting where we are. Not where I am not. So that is the honesty. At least we can develop this quality of honesty. So, how do we deal with hypocrisy? Or how do we help ourselves not to get diverted from the path of our spirituality or our goals? So, there are few things which one need to take care. And out of this three is, one is under promise and over deliver. So, advertisement industry, what we see outside is, they are over promising and under delivering. They promise big, big things. They arouse people's expectations so much. But when it comes to deliver, it is very little. Khushiyo ki chabi. But when you purchase it, when you buy it, it becomes chabi of frustration. Isn't it? Key of frustration. All those expectations, they hit the ground. So as a practitioner, we should always begin with the small things or speak about small, small aspects instead of speaking big, big things. I remember one person, he would speak so much about lust and very, very vehement about speaking, and so much so that the person, like, he would like pounce on someone, even if someone has a little thoughts about such emotions. And one time he was found to be guilty of the same act what he was thinking, or on which he would pounce on. And in Journey Home also, the Journey Home, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj writes about this, about one Jain master, that he would speak big, big principles about controlling oneself, controlling senses, focus. And the same master was found having affair with his student. And when it was exposed, the trust of all the followers was broken. So, he spoke high principle, but delivered very little. So better to be humble enough to speak what we can follow and deliver much more what we speak. And somebody might speak, one must do Nirjala every Ekadashi. And what is found? The same person is having so much feast. Better, what you could follow, just speak that much. So this is what is under promise and over delivering it. You speak less and deliver more. You promise less, accomplish more. That commitment. And what happens if we speak big things and if ourselves we are unable to follow those things, then your self-worth also gets hampered. Your confidence also gets hampered. And you get trapped into a vicious cycle. So better to be small, to be humble, and give more, deliver more. Second thing which helps us to counteract this tendency is having accountability. Accountability is the principle which help person to control his emotions. So when we have a good relationship, a transparent relationship with someone where we can express our vulnerabilities, express our weaknesses, a trustworthy person basically. So what happens with that accountability and the emotions to please another person, that what is expectation from us helps us to control our wrong activities, what generally our weaknesses prompts us to do. So when we have a very meaningful and emotionally fulfilled relationship, whether it is friend, whether it is spouse, whether it is mentor, if we are explaining our weaknesses or if we are expressing our weaknesses to such people, so there is accountability. And that accountability helps us to curb our tendencies. Just like many times we have this parenting apps and all those things. There it is found in their survey that most of the people, those who are addicted to various wrong things, they could give up those things just because there is accountability. And there is no one in this world who is above illusory energy. Illusory energy can trap everyone. And that trap comes when, and that trap becomes more tighter when we try to hide from others. And therefore, accountability helps someone or everyone to curb those tendencies. And finally, before we contribute to the world, we should have our firm connection with the Lord and the sadhana. Why it is important? Because we keep giving to the world and we try to deliver others with our efforts, our endeavors. But in case in that delivering others in that process, what happens? We forget ourselves to nourish ourselves. Without nourishment, you cannot nourish others. Without having your full pockets, you cannot give alms. Unless our pot is full, we cannot give it to others. So, a practitioner must have impeccable connection, impeccable sadhana, and that nourishment comes through our sadhana. We cannot compromise with our sadhana. We cannot compromise our practices. Because those practices, those sadhana, connect ourselves with the higher powers. That is God, Krishna. And that power helps us to overcome our weaknesses and help others overcome their weaknesses. Because when we are trying to contribute, what we are doing or we are helping them to overcome their weaknesses, to practice Krishna consciousness. So if we ourselves is not nourished, if we ourselves are not practicing, what contribution we are doing in our followers' life? Means empty bottles creates empty bottles. And those empty bottles, they create more noise. And then we think, why there is so much noise over there? Because there is no substance. So what is our internal mood? It's not only external services that matters. And just like he says, that we have accomplished larger things, but not better things. So our internal mood, that I am a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. I don't want external glories. Because external, when we are looking for external glories, then what matters? How much you have accomplished? That matters. But when we are looking to be servant of the Lord, then there is not much glory over there. But there is a satisfaction, inner satisfaction. And that inner satisfaction also creates satisfaction in those who are following us. So our internal mood is very important. What I want to achieve, I want to be servant of the Lord. If that is the mood, then hypocrisy can be dealt properly. Otherwise, this tendency can overpower at any time of our practices on our journey. So, I will end with the story of a king who wanted to appoint his prince, but he did not have issue. He did not have a son. He did not have any child. So he announced to the whole kingdom that tomorrow I'm going to have a contest. And whoever wins that contest, that person will be appointed as a prince regent. He will be the next king. So all the teens, youths of the country were called. And they were given seeds. And they were told, for next 1 year, you have to take care of these seeds. You have to bring them, bloom them. And whoever is most exuberant, blooming seed or that plant would be, he will be rewarded as a prince regent. So all the children, they carried that seed home. And everyone was having beautiful, very lush green plants in their home. They were taking care of that seed. That seed fructified and they had a good flowers, fruits to those seeds. Except one child. That one child tried a lot, but there were no signs of fructifying those seeds. He tried harder and harder, but no result came out. Year got over. There was no signs of fructification. So he came on the assigned date. King had called all these boys, all these people who had carried seeds at home. And everyone else's seed had bloomed beautifully, exuberantly. And this only one child was not successful. And everyone started laughing at him. Everyone started ridiculing him. But this child did not budge. He did not pay any attention. He remained silent. He did not even wanted to compete with others. He did not want to make himself show. And when result came out, King examined everyone. And when King announced the result, he chose this boy whose seed has not fructified. And everyone shocked. You know, how is it that? Has King gone mad? That our seeds have become blooming. I mean, they have become so nicely bloomed. And this child has not given a proper result. So the king said, actually, the seeds which I had given to all of you, all those seeds were fried seeds. They were not supposed to germinate. They were not supposed to fructify. You all tricked yourself dishonest way and tried with some other seeds and bloomed all those things, all those seeds. And this fellow was honest enough that his seed did not germinate. And therefore, I am appointing him as a prince regent. He will be the next king. And this is what Krishna was expecting all of us. Even if our seed does not germinate, it does not bloom, even if we accept whatever we are, Krishna is going to accept us. That is the sum and substance of this shloka and the purport given by Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. If anyone has any question, any doubt, they can feel free to ask. Yes, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you.
Thank you for the class. My question is that means you spoke about hypocrisy, and hypocrisy is because of two reasons. One, you said self-respect.
Fear
for self-respect.
Yeah, low self-esteem.
Low respect. And second was
low self-esteem.
Low self-esteem. Now, when we think about low self-esteem, do low self-esteem and ego, false ego, I would say, go in hand and hand? How should we deal in that case?
So the question is, low self-esteem is connected with the false ego. So how to deal with the false ego? That is the question. Yes. Whether it is pride or low self-esteem, they are both the sides of false ego. A frustrated false ego is low self-esteem. So how to deal, as most of the time, it has been discussed in our scriptures too, that when we take shelter of holy name. In this age of Kali Yuga, the practices, they help us to deal with our false ego. Another thing is that association of the devotees. In the association of the devotees, you cannot hide your weaknesses. That time, it is very easy to deal with the ego. And as one of the principles I spoke is accountability. That accountability is nothing but the dealing with the ego. So these three things will help us to deal with our false ego. And when we realize that it's no matter what I am, Krishna is going to accept me. So whether whatever is low self-esteem we have or pride we have, when pride it has been punctured, and even if we have a low self-esteem, that Krishna's assurance that I am ready to accept anyone and everyone, that low self-esteem will go away. And we will accept our self, what I am, okay, that what I am. Of course, we should always try to improve ourselves. We should not remain where we are. But if we fail in those endeavors, still there is no need to worry about. Finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there to deliver. So as it is said, as Gaur Purnima is also coming closer, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is ready to deliver one who is fallen. But one, he will not deliver one who is hypocrite. So even after our endeavors, we are unable to cope up with our weaknesses. Then we have to just accept. So this is how we can deal with that low self-esteem. Does this answer your question? Grantara Srinath Bhagavat Mahapurana ki Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaur Premanandeya.